Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be on Love is Blind? And what that experience of falling in love with someone through a wall? Well, in today's episode, we go into just that. I got to interview Kelly Chase. Kelly Chase was on the first season of Love is Blind. She is a business and mindset coach, reality TV celebrity, and a small town girl who's on a mission through vulnerability and raw storytelling to inspire, motivate, empower you to create the life you crave. In this episode, we go into so many fun things from her experience on Love is Blind, how she got casted on the show, what it was like being on the first season, her dating journey, and so much more. So excited for you guys to hear this episode. Let's get started. Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you, to diving into your story. Love to start. So tell me about your 20s. And then I want to know, like, one defining shit show moment for you as well that happened in your 20s.
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me here. I'm like really excited to just open up and share a lot of, just vulnerabilities and stories and whatnot to help people, get to know me better. So thank you for giving me that opportunity too. Yeah, let's see. My 20s. I would say there were two really big things that happened during my 20s that kind of were catalysts to now looking back being like really obviously significant moments that in my 30s I started to more so address, which is really interesting. But basically, during my 20s, earlier on, like, 21, 2021, I was still in college and I actually had experienced a like abusive situation, little like not a little, but kind of like sexual trauma stemming from a friends with benefits situation that went south. And then it got physical also. And there was a lot of like emotional and verbal abuse going on in there too. I went to one therapy session after that. And the way that I perceived how the therapist spoke to me, it felt very condescending. And when my mom picked me up from the session, she was like, "So did you schedule your next appointment?" I was like, "No, I'm fine. I'm healed. I'm good." I remember it so clearly. Like, I literally just got in the front seat of the car and I was like, "No, I think I'm fine. Like, I'm good. Totally fine." And that was that. Shut it down. But I became a workaholic, a chronic hustler. I mean, I don't know the last time or if I've ever only had one job. Like, I'm constantly, like, I mean, currently I work 9 to 5, but I'm also an influencer and I have coaching programs and things like that. Like, I always have something else going on. So, and I feel weird when I don't. It's like, I'm like, I feel like I should be doing something. Like, I'm like being lazy or whatever. But yeah, I just was like working multiple jobs, having side hustles, never really had like a passion for I graduated from UGA, which I loved going to school there. It was great. I probably got more of a degree in partying than I did in like actual my degree. But I didn't know what I wanted to do in college. Like, I had no idea. Anything that I thought I wanted to be when I was growing up, probably just like not really encouraged because they were like, "Oh, I want to be a doctor." "Well, you're gonna have to go to like 10 more years of school for that." "Oh, I want to be a teacher." My mom was a teacher for 13 years and she was like, "You don't want to become a teacher. There's so much politics involved and like it's not what it used to be." Like, when you think of teaching. And then I was like, "Oh, I want to be an actress or whatever." And they're like, "Well, you like, unless you know someone, it's like really hard. It's competitive. It's like you'll be a starving artist, blah, blah, blah." So although they were just looking out for the best, trying to lead me in the best direction, the things that I thought I wanted to be were all kind of taken away. So going into college, I had no direction and I didn't really know what I was passionate about. So I got a fashion merchandising degree and never did anything with it. Like, I pretty much just like, I graduated from school through networking. I landed like a recruiting position, was there at that company for 2 years. Again, started like working side hustles. And then I left and went to like a sales and account management position with a sports technology company. And I was there for almost 8 years. I enjoyed going to work every day because I had made all these friends and I love seeing my friends every day and the paycheck, but I was relatively living paycheck to paycheck. That's why I also had a couple of side hustles too for that extra money and fun money and travel money and whatever. But again, I just felt like I was kind of on a hamster wheel, just going through all the motions of life. I had like serious boyfriend, like a few serious boyfriends during that time. And then in 2013, 13, my last long serious boyfriend, that was 10 years ago. my last boyfriend and I broke up. There was some, you know, him not being faithful and we wound up ending a relationship, but it was probably that was the second significant situation that happened because I mean, we had talked about not necessarily like making plans to get married, but there was conversations of marriage. And the first time that I was ever away from my family during Christmas was to go see his family for Christmas. And so it felt more serious than I guess he thought that it was. And so it broke my heart when we ended that relationship. You know, I try to be the cool girl and try to be friends with him still. And that just was like emotional cutting every single time I saw him. And we had a very mutual friend group. So I was around him a lot and all the new girls that he was bringing around. And I was like cutting, literally, not physically cutting myself, but you know what I mean? It was just really hard. And I think after that, I, not to say went into like a downward spiral, but I was definitely lost. Like I felt like I lost a lot of myself in him. So not only was I working this job that I had no, like there was no purpose, there was no drive really. And then I just felt so heartbroken and disconnected and lost with the relationship side of things. So it was like I would, you know, moving on, starting to get attracted to other guys and, you know, wanting to date other guys that were, you know, reciprocating the interest in me. But then it was more or less just like these Playboy F-boys here in Atlanta that I was pining over and couldn't stop pining over them. And I would say it was just like a lot of like reckless dating and, you know, hooking up and never feeling like I was good enough for anybody because nobody wanted to make a commitment to me. So, and that was, I would say that went on for like 5 years from 2013 to 2018. And it was just really, really difficult. But to end of 2017, I left that corporate job that I was there for 8 years to pursue health coaching because I had gotten my health coaching certification back in 2013. And I was also a trainer for an all audio based fitness app at the time. So I was like, you know what? This actually is lighting me up. And there's people like on social media who are taking my classes that are like, you're changing my life. I'm like, I've been at 2 corporate jobs now and not one person has told me I'm changing their life. So I was like, there's something to this. I need to like lean into it. So end of 2017, I left that job and just pursued the coaching full time and started diving into personal development. And like, I mean, I have read more books in the last 5 years than I ever did in my entire life, probably. Like one self-growth, like growth and development book after the other. I just really got fascinated in how it was making me feel on the inside. And then obviously how it was changing my behaviors and my thought patterns and my worthiness of how I saw myself. And through that, 2018 rolled around. April comes, I get a phone call, and that's when Love is Blind reached out. The casting for Love is Blind. So that was that. But yeah, I just was like I was in this year of like, everything's changing. I'm saying yes to, you know, different opportunities. I'm ready to date like intentionally because I know my worth now because of all this, you know, personal development I had been doing for 8 months. And yeah, I just felt like things were progressing in a different way. Like I just felt happier. It was so different. It was weird, but amazing at the same time.
So there's so many things I want to go into. So going back, we had when you were like, I believe you said 20 or 21, had the scenario with a guy, verbally abusive, you know, a lot of things happened in that relationship. I'm curious how you went into your next relationship. Like, how were you able to trust men again? Did different things come up for you about, like, am I picking men right? Like, I'm curious, like, your whole process there and how you were able to kind of coach yourself and help yourself through that process. Yeah. I feel like that could bring up a lot for making the next relationship, you know, you don't want to continue that pattern.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I never consciously, let's put it this way, consciously, I never thought like, oh, I can't trust someone or this person's going to hurt me or they're going to, like, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the same scenario. I never like consciously was afraid of that. A guy that I dated maybe a year or two after that scenario stopped. He was great. Like, he was so nice. I like really enjoy, I mean, we dated for 2 years and he was really amazing. However, I would say towards the end of our relationship, there were some experiences that I saw the side of him that was mimicking the other guy. like when he would get angry about something. Like, I mean, he punched a wall one time. He just got like very angry with his words and language towards me, to the fact that it frightened me. And I was like, oh, okay, this feels familiar. So not that, and he never did anything, I mean, physical to me. And it, that only happened like once or twice that he got like really raging. But I'm like, and he was drinking, whatever. There's no excuse, but still. But yeah, so after that was the next guy. Well, I probably dated a couple guys in between there. Again, I never had that thought of, oh, it's going to happen again. Like it just never occurred to me that way. But what I want to say is that I feel a lot of the guys that I dated have those narcissistic qualities, though. Narcissism to just not making me feel like I'm the priority really ever in the relationship. Again, like I said, that's kind of like after the guy from 10 years ago and I broke up, it was just reckless dating and me just continuing to lose myself in people. And I think it probably was a lot of behaviors and unconscious patterns that were stemming from that situation in college, because I was like trying to make up for that in the sense of one, I wish it never got out of control, of course, but like I kept going back to the guy in college because we had been friends before and I saw that side of him. And so I was like, oh, he'll change. Like, I don't know. He's just drunk, or he's in a mood or whatever. You know, I kept making excuses for it. And that's what every girl in every abusive relationship does. There was a shaming and guilt that was over me, like that I put so much, like I hated that I experienced that. And that, you know, I lost a friend because I agreed to a friends with benefits situation. And then of course it went south. So I think I was looking for that external like love and validation and acceptance from all these men afterwards. And like every time I felt them slipping away, I would get even more needy towards them. Like, no, like see me that I'm worthy and that I'm really good for you and that we'll be good together. And there was a lot of like fixing going on. Like I wanted to fix these guys. Like, I'm the one that can change you. I'm the one, you know? And I think that, like I said, I think a lot of that came from unconsciously from that situation and probably things that happened. I mean, I remember getting rejected when I was in third grade too. You know, it's like so much is stemmed from our early, you know, earlier years. So, but yeah, I mean, again, to just answer your question, I never consciously thought like, oh, this is going to happen again. But I'm very on high alert sometimes when the guy gets angry. I'm very much a peacekeeper. Like, I don't love conflict. So I like to try to have a conversation about things versus, like, I remember the guy that I dated 10 years ago. I mean, he was being very friendly with my girlfriends. Let's put it that way. And I wasn't out. Like, I think I was bartending at the time and they all were at a club or something. And they were like, yeah, he like grabbed my ass and stuff. And like, it was kind of weird. And instead of me being like how I feel like some other women would be, to be like, babe, like, what the fuck? You know, it's like, I would like let it just like simmer until the next day when he's not drinking. And I would be like, hey, I just wanted to bring this up. Like, can you explain what happened to me? You know, like I'm talking to a 5-year-old, you know? And so it wasn't at like, that is something that I know for a fact I don't love about myself. Like, not that I need to be a bitch and not that I need to like talk down to or mother anyone, but I have a tendency to bypass my true emotion to not create conflict. Because probably there's some fear that that person is going to one, either get really angry with me and I'm going to see the side like I saw from the college guy, or they're going to leave me. So I just keep the peace and be like, oh, I'm the cool girl. I'm the cool girl. I keep the peace with everything.
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, now what you do once you notice like those behaviors come up, how you make sure now that like, you're able to go into the healthy relationship versus going back to old patterns. I'm curious if you have a process now or like anything you think of intentionally when you're going on these dates, like make sure that you're going to have a guy who's like healthy, who's able to give a different relationship than that one.
Yeah. So I have actually gone through a couple of different like relationship and like self-love programs, like gone through coaching programs myself. And it's been very fascinating. I just finished one actually in December, but creating such like a self-care routine and self-love routine for myself has been so helpful, because then I'm like, okay, I'm prioritizing protecting myself. I'm showing myself what I deserve, how I deserve to be treated. And then when I don't get that from someone else, and it feels less than a low, like, what is it? Like a low accountability behavior. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't love that. I don't love that. Like, that's kind of like a yellow or red flag to me. Whenever a guy is not putting in the effort, also red flag, because again, that's kind of in my experience for the last 15 years, I feel like 10 plus years, is the guys just not being extra, they're not efforting enough, they're not committing. Like, so I'm like, I want to feel really secure. I dated someone, I want to say in 2020, very quickly, but so much of like that experience, like although we only went on a couple of dates, but we talked on the phone a handful of times, and it was someone I had known like my whole life, that just kind of like circled back around. But our conversation, like almost every week, he would check in with me to be like, how are you feeling this week about us? And I was like, that's like, and it didn't feel like he was being anxious or paranoid about anything. He would just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page, because if we weren't, he wanted to talk about it and then make a decision. Like, I don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste my time. So is this going to work out or not? You know, and I loved that. Just having that open dialogue. He had been divorced, so he had been there, done that. And I think that was just him being like, I'm not going to waste your time. Like, this is either going to work or it's not. So I really admired that. And I look for qualities of open communication, that open dialogue, and just vulnerability in the guys that I'm dating now. I'm like, a lot of people are like, Kelly, you share so much and you're so raw and you're very transparent, even online to strangers you don't even know. And I'm like, yeah. And I said, and they're like, do you do that when you're like on dates? You just like open up with your whole life story? And I'm like, if it calls for it, like if I feel like it, I do. I said, and the right person's going to be able to hold space for me. I said, that's it, you know? And if something rubs them the wrong way, then they're probably not the right person for me. So why not get it all out in the open, you know? Like, I'm not going to hide who I am.
I love that. And I love that he had the guts to ask you that question, because I feel like that could be a scary question to ask if, like, you're feeling so much for someone and you hope that it's like reciprocated, but it might not be. That's a great question to ask. I love that. I'm curious too, going back to like you said, you've always had like two or three jobs. Like, you always felt like this need to do more. How do you like comfort that need to do more, in terms of like, I can feel like it could be hard sometimes of feeling like I have to do everything, like I'm never doing enough. And how you like comfort that part of yourself and what you do now, knowing that you have that.
Considering because I do still have that, it's really bringing awareness to the fact that I have to like parent myself in those scenarios. I mean, honestly, like right before I got on our call here, I like looked at my coffee table and there was like Christmas cards like that they're really late Christmas cards that I have been trying to send out to my friends, but I like, it'll probably take me an hour maybe to do, maybe even 30 minutes, but like I'll write like one, because I'm not just being like, hey, like, hope you're doing well. I'm like kind of writing a personal message inside each one, and it may only take an hour to do, but I just have not been doing it. I've only gotten 3 out of like 20 cards written so far, and I just keep looking at it because it's an eyesore. I'm like, Kelly, either pick it up and put it in a drawer and hide it for a little while until next year, or take care of it and get it off of your coffee table, you know? But it's like, there's other priorities, and I'm like, okay, I'll just do it later. But then that like to-do list like builds up. So what I do in those scenarios, I recognize the fact that I just shamed myself because I just was like, oh, Kelly, you have so much to do and you're like fucking around on social media sometimes. Like, then I just, like I said, I have to parent myself to be like, okay, Kelly, like you don't always have to be on. You don't always have to be doing something. Like, you are worthy just because you exist. Like, it's okay, even if you want to binge 10 hours of a television show and not do anything on your to-do list, it's okay. And I just have that conversation with myself and just send myself some love and compassion and be like, you've done enough. You're okay. Because I have a tendency to like overthink a lot too. Like, even creating content for social media, I'm like, I work with this company for my coaching right now, and they're like, how long do you sometimes spend creating content? I'm like, I don't know, sometimes it can be like an hour, because I'm like, you know, making like little clip videos and then editing everything together and blah, blah, blah. I said, and they were like, can you make like a 7-second reel and call it a day? And I'm like, I could, but, and I need to, but that 7 seconds turns into probably about 35 minutes, because I'm like, well, what do I need to do? How do I need to make this? Like, I've become very, it's weird because I've never called myself a perfectionist, and it's like I've become a perfectionist. And that, I think, is a defense mechanism for me not feeling like I'm enough, because I shared this on my Instagram last night, actually. Like, I don't feel necessarily like that I want to be where I like should, like, what am I trying to say? Like, that I would like to be in a different place than I am. Like, I think I should be further along in like my career or something like that now. And because I'll be 40 in 2 years, and I'm like, I just think that there are some things in my life that I would like to have. And I know I'm also a very big like gratitude person. I'm like, I know everything's happening for a reason. I know there's so many reasons, but there are also the times I'm very much human and I recognize like this sucks. I watch all of my friends have kids and families and, you know, getting married and all the things, and I'm here. And I, you know, went through some savings years ago, still trying to build up my savings account again. Like, there's a lot of things that I'm like, can I just like meet a really incredibly rich man and just let him take me away for a little while? That'd be great. I don't want to do
anything. That's a dream.
Don't want to do anything. Let me just sit on a beach in like France or something. That'll be good.
I really appreciate you sharing all that, because I feel like a lot of us can relate to not being where we want to be and being so freaking hard on ourselves for not being there. And something I especially wanted to highlight is you said perfectionist is a defense mechanism for not feeling good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just something that's come up in the last year too, because I'm like I said, I don't think I've ever, like, I'm not a type A. I mean, I have friends that like color coordinate and like whatever spreadsheets, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, let's just do it, get it done, move on. But when it comes to like creating social media content, it is taking me a very long time. And there were like, I want to say before the show aired, I posted like every single day. I mean, granted, I don't think in 2018, like reels were actually like ever like even a thing, you know, video content really wasn't a thing. So I think I've like put pressure on myself to do more video content just because that's like the thing. And I enjoy watching video content. Like, it's great, you know, but I've been very much in my perfectionism since the show aired in 2020. Like, I really think that it, for lack of a better word, like traumatized me in a way, because I was showing up on social media, then I got a lot of hate on social media. And so there's some trauma that's there. So I've been just in this like huge, like people pleasing mode. Some behaviors of mine, I don't even recognize that are people pleasing. And then I'm like, whoa, yeah, that's totally what I'm doing right now. And thus, I think that's where the perfectionism comes in too. I think they're just like marrying each other, because I'm like, I'm trying to make things so perfect so that people, you know, aren't offended or aren't like attacking me, right? I have to like convey something in such a proper way that it's not going to offend someone or whatever. And then it's still like, I mean, literally, like, I made a video the other day and someone like writes like, she looks like she's drunk. And I'm like, oh my God, I actually do look like I'm drunk. I'm not drunk in the video. I was like, you're not wrong. I don't know why I look like that in the video. But I'm like, can someone just be like, I just want some positive feedback. I just want only positive feedback on my social media, because any negative comment just like derails me for like at least 5 minutes. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's such pain. But I used to like, I mean, I've been using Instagram for my business for 10 years. Like, it's crazy like how one very impactful thing can really just tip everything over. It's really fascinating. I mean, I continue to show up and I do the things and I create the content, but I have to be honest to say that it's a lot of perfectionism that is underneath it, and it does take me a while. So that is something this year that I'm working on, is like creating a 7 to 10 second reel and calling it a day and being okay with it. And it's, what's really funny too is I didn't really use TikTok after the show aired, although I probably should have, because then, you know, I would have gained the following back then. But started using it a little bit, dabbling with it just over the last couple of years. And now when I go in there, like, I go on there and I can post something very quick, very short, sweet, and simple. And I, like, don't even look at the app for, like, another week. You know, like, I don't care. It's literally Instagram. Instagram has soured me. Like, it's so weird. Like, I'm really, like, I have trauma around Instagram. Yeah, you'd think I would like wouldn't use it, and I would just be like, okay, let me just detox from social media for like a year. But I also know, like, I mean, I've had this is a beautiful thing about it, but like me sharing my vulnerable parts and my challenges and things. I mean, people that have been following me for a long time, they're like, you know, we've watched your journey like before Love is Blind. And we just have to tell you, like, you know, keep showing up as you. Like, it's really neat to witness someone be so forward facing about their struggles, basically. And, but like, you're also very empowering and inspiring and motivating and, you know, very connecting with a lot of us. So like, just keep doing what you're doing and you're doing a great job, you know? And I'm like, I need to hear that sometimes. So, but it's hard. It's something hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we really appreciate it because you see so many filters, so many things that look pretty, but we just want real. Like, we don't care about like all the whatever looks nice. We just want to see what's actually going on and what relates to us. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to go back a little bit to, how did they find you for Love is Blind? Like, did you apply? Have that happen? And I want to know, like, your first thought of, like, once you, like, found out, or you're like, yes, this is, like, a complete yes, like, I can see it, or you're like, I don't know. Like, I'm curious what your thoughts were when it happened.
Yeah, great question. Okay, so my story is different than everybody else's. So the show was just a concept at the time, so there was no application because it was not even, like, they weren't casting for it. Like, they were recruiting for it. So, because we were the first season. So I received a phone call. I like rarely answer unknown numbers, but for whatever reason, it says Santa Monica, California. And I was like, I love California. Let me answer that one. Just randomly sitting in the living room, or sitting on my bedroom floor. I just like remember the day so well. Anyway, so I pick up and they're like, hey, it's so-and-so from Kinetic Casting. We have a new project. We were wondering if you were still single. I had interviewed with the same casting team a few years prior to For Married at First Sight. And I did not do that show. I went through the whole, like, I literally went through the entire interview process for Married at First Sight. And it, I think it was the first season two for that. In Atlanta, I think was the first season. They sent me the contract and I like read the fine print and I was like, oh no. Like, it literally was like, if you don't do this, like, you get fined like $50,000. I was like, I don't have $50,000, so no. And plus, I think my parents might actually murder me if I did something like that. Because if you're not familiar, Married at First Sight is literally Married at First Sight. Your first episode, you are walking down the aisle and getting married. That's it. So I was like, nope, this is not it for me. I want to be on TV, but not that bad. So when they called and they pitched Love is Blind concept, I was like, okay, it's like blind dating. Not going to see the person. They didn't give too many specifics. It was just like the overall idea. My initial thought came from ego, and it was like, I can do this because I'll prove all my friends wrong that I can actually have an emotional connection with someone and that I'm not super shallow and I don't go only for guys that look good. Because that was my friends were like, Kelly, stop going for these like model guys who treat you like shit because they think their shit don't stink, and go for like a 7. Like, let's go for a 7, not a 10, looks wise. And anyways, it was like a joke between us, but I was like, fine, I'm going to do this show and prove them all wrong. And, but then also, like I said, I had probably been like 8 months or 6 months into my like personal development journey and like self-love journey. And I was like, this just sounds like such a neat opportunity and like a neat experience for me to actually learn something about myself too. And hey, maybe I will make a connection. Honestly, at that point, I didn't think that I would, because I'm like, I always used to say, oh, I'm just too picky. I'm like a very picky person. There's no way I'm going to match with someone I can't even see. Like, no way. But lo and behold, I did. But yeah, that was it. And I was just like, yeah, I think this sounds like really good. And we just went through, I think that was in April or May. And then we started filming in October. So it was a few different Skype interview sessions with different people. And then, you know, like psychology tests and that kind of thing and the running background, whatever. But yeah, I was excited to do it. Nervous, but excited. Plus, I didn't think I was like going to meet anybody. So I was like, I'm just going to dabble with this for a few days and then come home. It'll be fine.
So interesting, because a lot of people who go on the show say, I was like, I don't think I'm going to meet anyone. Like, I don't think this is going to work for me. And that ends up working. Yeah. That's cool that you did it before, like, it got famous and before everyone goes on it, because, like, they know the platform that it could create.
Yeah.
Like, you were one of the first kind of guinea pigs of, like, you didn't even know, like, what the show was going to fully look like when you walked in.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And I want to say that when we were filming, that the show was not picked up by Netflix yet. Like, there was Netflix reps that would come on site and, like, for filming, and they would observe things and whatever, but I don't think that it had been picked up yet. So we didn't even know that it was going to become anything. Like, it wasn't like a, yeah, this for sure is going to air. Like, it was like a, thank you for doing this. We'll let you know. We'll be in touch. And it was like 8 months later until we heard anything. Like, okay. Or even a year, because the show didn't air until 2020. We filmed in 2018. I think it was like 15 months in between. So yeah, maybe it was like right around a year was when we like heard anything. We were just, and then they were like, oh, like for the ones that were married or still dating, they were like, remove all your pictures off social media and like, you know, that kind of thing. So we can't have any trace of anything going on. So it was, that was it. It was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And like, is love really blind? Like, can you actually fall in love with someone without seeing them? And I'm curious if you could give some insight into what that feels like, because that seems like so interesting not to even know what this person looks like.
Right. You know, I would say, yes, I do think that it is blind, kind of, for the most part. Because I did, I mean, like I said, I did make a connection. Obviously, there are two couples that are still married who made their connection. It felt like, because when we were talking through the pod, it felt like you were on a telephone call, like back in the day, you know, because you can't see the person. We didn't have those capabilities back in 1995. You know, it's like, we didn't have that. So it just felt like you were talking to that person. And like, so our dates, the first day, they were 7 minutes long. And then by the end of the night, I think it was 9 days, 8 or 9 days total that we were dating in the pod. It didn't look like that online or on the TV, but it was like 9 days total. It was maybe like, I want to say an hour and a half to 2 hour date time. So that's the longest that we spent with that person. There were a couple times you may get like a more like a daytime date with them and an evening date with them. And then you may have had like an hour and a half each. So you may have had like a total of 3 hours, but that's the most amount of time. So any time that you're talking to them, sometimes if you didn't see that the signal, like your time was up, because there wasn't like a clock in there, you didn't have a phone in there, anything like that. I think they like flashed a light or did something to like tell you like time was like, you had like 2 minutes left or something. But if you missed it, all of a sudden the cameras just like the mics just dropped. And so you may have been in the middle of a conversation. You're like, no, wait, I was like having a really important conversation with this person. And you're like eager to talk to them again. Obviously, if you're having a connection with them. So, you know, when you would walk into the room and you may or may not know who you're about to talk to, it's like you have butterflies. And as soon as you hear their voice, you're like, oh my God, like, I'm so excited I get to talk to this person again. So it was like really neat in that way. But yeah, what else did you ask me? The brain part.
No, just like what that experience is like. Is love blind? Like, what like not knowing what they look like?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, granted, like I said, I think just getting those butterflies and being excited to talk to someone, yes, I would say in that regard, love is blind. And I mean, I made some really deep emotional connections, and that's what I was looking for. There were a couple of people that I, you know, went on the dates with that I did not get that deep with. And I was like, that's not what I'm looking for. Again, like I said earlier, like, I will share you my life story on our first date. Like, I just really wanted to feel connected with someone. And I'm like, we don't have that much time, so we might as well like get straight to the point on a lot of these. I mean, there were guys that were crying on our dates, like, and just really opening up about family or tragedies that have happened, things like that. And so it was really, really neat. And I wish TV actually aired a lot of that to show like how these connections were really formed. When we did the reveal, this is where I'm saying like kind of love is blind, because I feel like you still have to have some type of physical attraction to the person. So yes, do I feel like love is blind? Sure, because I think that had, you know, even for me, like when the doors open and Kenny was standing on the other side, I wasn't immediately like starstruck, holy crap, this guy is, you know, my dream man. Like, it wasn't an immediate like, whoa feeling. I thought he was a handsome man. I just wasn't innately attracted to him in that way. But like, then we're like standing there on the carpet and we're talking and he kisses me and it was very passionate and very romantic kiss. And like, then something, like I felt something in my body and I was like, oh wow, okay. Like, that felt nice and safe and everything. And I started to get more and more attracted to him as the time went on, like throughout our journey. Like, there were times I remember, like even the first time that we met everyone else, and I clearly remember looking around at the guys and just observing like their physical attributes and everything. And I was like, I'm really happy with mine. Like, I'm really content, like not content, but I'm happy. I'm happy with Kenny. Like, I am attracted to him. Like, we've already spent, you know, whatever, 24 to 48 hours together. And I was just like, he's fun. He's like so nice. He's so loyal. Like, he's sound like he feels loyal. Like, he would be like a safe person to like just be with. And he's cute. He's a good looking guy. And so it was interesting. So I'm like, okay, love is blind, because I'm, you know, had I seen him at like out and about at a park, at a bar, anything like that, I probably wouldn't have thought twice about him. But then getting to know him first, it just only enhanced his physical appearance, you know? And I think that that's, I think it was funny because my friends, I was like, yeah, you know, he's like a 7 or 8. We're there, guys. We did it.
Must have been so happy. They're like, yeah. Thank goodness.
But it like made him a 10, because I mean, and no offense, like if anyone is friends with him listening to this, like he's a very good looking guy, we all know that, but you know, we're all attracted differently. But yeah, it was just like so funny. I'm like, it like made him just even more, you know, more attractive in every way in that regard. So it was interesting. So yeah, love is blind.
I'm curious, like talking through walls, do you feel like that breaks down like the emotional aspect of like, it's easier to have an emotional conversation where you're not looking at them, open up more? So what your thoughts are on there?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, granted, for me, I know that I'm a vulnerable person and I can open up that way. But yes, I feel like for everyone though, yeah, I definitely think so. Especially the guys. I mean, you know, it's hard for the stigma around men being vulnerable. You know, they've been told, you know, if their parents were critical during their childhood and telling them like, hey, why are you crying? Stop being a baby, be a man, boys don't cry, things like that. Like, if they were reprimanded about it, like for guys to be vulnerable is really difficult. So I think that the wall probably had more effect on them than it did on us girls, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. While you're like filming the show, like how often you realize like there's a camera there? Does it kind of disappear at some point and you're kind of just like not thinking about the camera? And if you were ever worried about like, how is this going to be like cut? Like, how are they going to view this? Are they able to like change these scenes around? And like how much you're thinking about like what you had to say and like how you're able to stay present and say what you wanted to say without like fear of like, how is this going to be interpreted?
Yeah, I would say for us, there was one scenario I remember. We were in Mexico and something I think had, like, we had like an event the night before or something, and production asked us to give our feedback, our comments, our thoughts on a particular couple and like how they were behaving or something. And I was about ready to tell them what I was thinking. And Kenny just like looked at the producer and he goes, not doing it. I know what you're trying to do and we're not about it. And they literally were like, all right, well, that's all we had today. They probably would have filmed us for like 2 hours, but we weren't going to give them any drama. So they were like, all right, y'all enjoy the pool. Bye. And I was like, man, I kind of wanted to film today. Like, that would have been fun, you know? But I understood. And Kenny, I mean, I'm not a dramatic person either, but like Kenny was just like, not it, not about it. He was not having it. So that was interesting. But yeah, personally though, individually, there were times, like I would probably say like more in, when we were more in public, I didn't think about the camera being around me. Like, yeah, it's there, but it wasn't like, I'm thinking about like the conversations that we're having and having with other people or just between Kenny and I wasn't really thinking like how this is going to come across or anything like that. Like I shared a lot of vulnerable top like stories and I was just like, all right, I'm just being open about it. But I didn't think too much into it. There were times though, like when it was more of our like one-on-one conversation and interviews with the producers, because in those moments they were trying to get information out of you technically so they could use it against you or for you, you know, but and to create their storyline. That was something Kenny really didn't have too much of a storyline. He wasn't as open as I was, so my interview was before his every single time. So they would try and use something maybe I said during his interview to try and like trigger him to be like, oh, well, she doesn't know if she's like, you know, she's really that into you or something. Like, how do you feel about that? And I don't think, like, I think he was like sticking up for me because the producers would tell me, they're like, he's not giving us anything. Like, we're trying to get something from him. He's not doing anything. But I remember even they would be like, oh, you know, you saw the couples, like, who, you know, were you attracted to anybody else? And I was honest about it. I'm like, yeah, I think Cameron was a really good looking guy, you know? I'm like, had they manipulated that story, they could have made it look like I was trying to go off the camera. You know what I mean? So it's like they were trying to get some information, but it also, they're just doing their job and they wanted us to be honest. And I was just trying to be as honest as possible, you know? But I did understand too, like there were maybe a couple of times they asked about like the girls, you know, like, oh, what are your thoughts about this girl? Like, are you getting along? Like, what do you think about when she acted like this, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know, I never wanted to like gossip or talk crap about anybody. So I kind of kept it pretty mellow to be like, well, you know, I mean, I don't know if I would have done that, but you know, to each their own. It wasn't like, oh my God, yeah, that girl's fucking crazy or like whatever, you know. I'm sure I thought those things. I just didn't want to say them. So it was more in our one-off interviews where I was maybe biting my tongue a little bit.
So interesting that you can decide not to answer a question. I just assume, like, viewing it, that, like, you have to answer everything that they ask.
I did, too. Well, that's what, like, I was shocked when Kenny, like, responded for the both of us, basically, and they were like, all right, well, that's it. That's all we have for you guys today. And I was like, I want to film. He can have his own opinion. It's fine. I have my own. I should have said something, but I was like, all right, whatever. Let's just enjoy the pool and get some cocktails. It was fine.
And knowing all that you know now, would you go on the show again?
I would if there was not a wedding involved. Like if it was just like a dating show, almost like The Bachelor, you know, when it's just like an engagement, I think that would be okay. The wedding was very hard. You know, I've never been married before. So getting in a wedding dress and your mom and dad being there for the first time to see their daughter in a wedding dress is a very emotional moment. I mean, we all cried. And yeah, it was really hard. And I thought maybe I was robbing them of that, like of that moment in real life where I would be saying yes to someone at the end of the altar. But I don't think so. I mean, I'm grateful for their support and that they, you know, because there's, I mean, watching the other seasons and, you know, there were some parents that didn't show up for their, you know, for their children's, you know, their people's wedding. So that would have probably been more difficult, but I'm glad that I had them there. And yeah, so, but that was the hardest thing. So I would definitely say all of it except for the wedding. Don't want that.
Did you like feel this big pressure like to say yes? Like was there pressure from like the producers or just being in that environment to like want to say yes to it, even though you know it's like a no?
Right. It was more of a pressure, like I didn't. Yes, producers were highlighting things about our relationship and or Kenny, like all together. Like he checks off of all the boxes. Like you said at the very beginning when we asked you, you know, what you liked in a guy or what you were looking for in a relationship, he is all these things. And so they were like pointing that out to me. They're like, well, he's done this. He is this. He shows this type of quality and characteristic. You know, he's financially secure. All these things. They were like going through the checklist. And then they were like, you know, I just kept saying my head and my heart don't feel like they're connecting. Like, I don't feel like there's some type of disconnect and I don't know what it is. And I don't know if it's just because this is so fast. And it's like I barely know him. I just met him 3 weeks ago, you know, but it's like I couldn't really put a finger on it. And then even when they were like, you know, there's people that elope and they, you know, go to Vegas and they get married and sometimes they're married for 50 years, like, and they don't have a bridal shower or a bachelorette party or, you know, a wedding shower. Like they don't have anything. They don't have bridesmaids. They don't have their parents there, like nothing. It's just the two of them. They're in love. They're going and getting married. They're like, so why does all that stuff matter if you're in love with the person? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, they would drill me like every time. And I finally said, I go, well, I guess I'm not in love with him then. And they literally just all sat back and like crossed their arms and they were like, that's all we needed to hear. And I was like, well, I mean, I love him. Like I'm falling in love with this man, but I can't say that I'm in love with him. And they were like, that's all we needed to hear. That's enough. Like for us to know you can't marry him. They're like, but you're still going to do this like every week because you still might change your mind. And I literally almost changed my mind. I did almost change my mind. Like the week of the wedding, I was like, he does check off all the boxes. We're great. His family, like our families get along. Like I was talking myself into it real hard. And I was like, I mean, Kelly, what's the worst thing? You would get a divorce. Like so many people get a divorce these days. And I think, you know, I've watched my parents. They were happily married for 40 something years. And I think growing up my mother being Catholic, and her saying, you know, people don't get divorced unless they're being abused or whatever, you know, you don't just get divorced because you don't like them anymore. So I think that that kind of like story stuck out for me. And it's just interesting, even the line of work that I do with like mindset coaching and stuff, it's like it's reprogramming all of those stories and those beliefs and create your own story, you know? And I think that, but I want to say that that was hanging over my head really heavily while we were filming, because I was like, I want this to be real. I don't want to get a divorce. Like, I don't want that. So I want to make sure that this is good. And the fact that I've been so up in the air and like not sure, that's a really big sign, I think, that this isn't meant to be, or at least not right now, you know? So, but it was hard. It was definitely hard.
Yeah. That seems like a lot of pressure from the producers to kind of get an answer that they want.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of wonder if, like, anyone ends up getting married who maybe was on the fence or didn't want to get married but got married because of those conversations with the producers.
I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, I've never had that conversation with anyone else, but, yeah, I would imagine so. But then again, I'm like, you know, from our season, the two couples that got married on the show, and they are still married. They just celebrated their 5-year anniversary in November. You know, it's like, what? Like, that's wild. But maybe, you know, even if that were the case, that they felt like they were talked into it a little bit, you know, once they actually were married and they didn't have the cameras on them, then they felt like maybe they could like date each other, and they actually realized like, I do love you. You know, this, I'm so glad that I was brainwashed into saying yes, you know.
Cause
yeah, because it worked. I'm sure that they've, you know, had their ups and downs and challenges, of course, but, you know, I'm happy to see that it worked out for them, for Amber and Matt and Lauren and Cameron. It's really neat.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, at this point, so many people come up to you and say, like, hey, like, I'm thinking of going on Love is Blind. Like, what do I need to know? Do you recommend it? What do you kind of tell people when they're like, I'm like on the fence, like I want to go, I might not go. What do you think?
Yeah. Anyone who said, I tell them, I do encourage them to go. I just tell them to get a therapist. Seriously. Like, I wish that I had a therapist while we were filming or after filming, while the show was airing. Because, yeah, like, I mean, like I said, I had a lot of trauma, I think, from the show, just from the social media response to, you know, I probably could have used a therapist to help me unpack what happened after filming. I did work with a mindset coach, like a mindset and life coach after filming. So that significantly helped me unpack a lot of that. But I think, you know, that would be my, that was just, that wasn't an intention of, hey, I need help healing and grieving from this. It was, I hired this woman for a completely different reason. We just happened to like dive into that stuff. But yeah, I would totally recommend it, because the opportunity, like, it's such a personal like growth journey for one. I mean, you learn so much about yourself, but then on the other end, you make such beautiful friendships and connections with other people. And then it, you know, if you are a part of the cast that's, you know, that gets TV time, it's going to open you up to a lot of really neat opportunities, you know, in whatever way that lands. But I think that it can really change your life in a really neat way. But yeah, I would definitely have a therapist going into it. You need it.
Yeah, that would be so helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine how many emotions come up every hour.
All the time, yeah. Like, I mean, it's literally in a month from now, another season of Love is Blind is going to air. And I'm known to be the girl from season one who, like, creates content whenever the new seasons are coming up. It's not necessarily, like, an intention. I just happen to do that. But now it's intentional, because I'm like, you know what? I think I am going to do it. I think I might do like a, you know, kind of like behind the scenes, like commentary of like what I think is going on. I don't know. I've been thinking of like different ideas, but every single time I post stuff about Love is Blind, one, it gets grand engagement, but two, I get reamed a new asshole every time, because they're like, oh my God, girl, you're still just trying to stay relevant. I'm like, bitch, I was on season one. I will always be relevant.
You tell them.
Don't tell me what I can and cannot do on my own social media. Thank you very much. But, or they're like, oh my gosh, she's still like obsessing about this. Like, it's been years. Like, get over it. She's probably still not even over Kenny. And I'm like, I am over him. I was over him years ago, and he is married. Okay. And I think she is a fabulous woman. So there is nothing there. Like, I'm just creating content because it boosts engagement and it's fun. Like, why not connect and give the people what they want? Why not? You know, it's fun. But yeah, you gotta have a strong mind.
I love that. And that's kind of what I wanted to ask you. How do you not let whatever people comment, you know, whatever people think about, like, the show, like, how are you able to separate yourself from that when it comes at you?
Probably within the first year and a half after the show aired, I would say that it was not easy. Again, I think that that's where a lot of the, like, social media trauma comes from. But now, like I said, when I see it, it kind of just, like, makes me disgruntled. Like, I get, like, I'm like, okay, like, leave me alone. Like, this is my Instagram account and I can do whatever I want. And people aren't sending me, like, death threats like they were back in the day. You know, they were saying, yeah, like, not necessarily death threats, but they were just saying extremely horrible things. You know, like, you're going to, like, you should probably die from, like, treating him that way. You're going to die alone. Like, of course you didn't pick anybody because you blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know. They would just say, like, really, really horrible things to me. Yeah, it was really weird. But, yeah, now I don't know. I don't take as much because it has been so far removed. I'm like, now it's just fun. I don't know. It doesn't affect me as much as it used to. But it does when I do get the DM or the comments saying, like, oh, she's just trying to stay relevant. It does bother me, and I can't say that it doesn't, because I'm like, what? I don't understand. Like, it will always be relevant for me, because if it wasn't for our season, the show wouldn't exist. Like, it would if they filmed a different thing with a different city, of course, but no, it's just interesting. But yeah, it doesn't affect me as much. But it's hard. Hard to say. When I create, if I create content again, I'll let you know if it bothers me. I'm like, no, I was triggered as fuck and can't, I should probably just not do that anymore. I don't know. But people really do, like, I mean, just like we're having this conversation, the show aired almost 4 years ago. You know what I mean? It's like people are still interested to hear about Love Is Blind. Like, people ask me still to this day, like, you know, some of the top questions, are you still friends with anyone from the show? Like, would you do it again? Like, you know, and I'm like, people still want to know these things. Are you dating anybody? Have you found love after the show? You know, it's like, it's fun to talk about. I don't mind it. It's funny because so many people will be like, they will like initiate the conversation. They're like, I'm sorry, I bet you hate talking about it. I'm like, no, I love talking about it. Like, it was such a cool experience in my life. Like, I really do love talking about it. You know, it's fun. It was neat. It did come with some trauma, but I mean, it was overall a greater thing in my life. I don't mind. And plus, it's so funny. So our season aired right before the pandemic. Like, COVID happened a month, literally, or like 2 weeks after our last episodes aired. So we didn't get, I want to say we didn't get the as many or the types of opportunities as maybe some of the later casts and series did, meaning like public appearances, and because we were all shut in our houses for months, like, we couldn't go anywhere. So anything that we were doing was through Zoom. So there was no outside. So like, it was funny because I want to say it was like Georgia was one of the first states, or Atlanta was one of her cities, to open up after COVID had shut everything down. And, you know, it was kind of like those like walk-up restaurant, like the restaurants had like moved everything outside, like you could like sit outside in the tables, but you couldn't go inside the restaurant. And I walked up to go get food to go one time, and this table came up to me and they were like, are you the girl from Love Is Blind? And I'm like, yeah, I live like around the corner. And they're like, oh my god, like, wait, you probably like hate talking about this. I was like, y'all, we've been locked up in our houses for 5 months. I haven't talked to anybody about anything. I was like, ask me all the questions. And they were like, oh my god, you're right. Oh, okay. It was just cute. So I don't know. It was kind of funny. I felt like we didn't get as much of an opportunity to share our story.
Yeah, I'm glad that you love to talk about it because we find it so interesting. We're like, wait, what happens? Like, how does that all play out? I have two final questions for you. So one is, what was your biggest takeaway from the experience or thing you learned about yourself from the experience?
I would probably say, I know I've answered this before, but I feel like it's changed. I think what I've learned most about myself, my biggest takeaway is probably just the fact of like that don't judge a book by its cover. That really getting to know someone, like even now, like on, you know, if I'm on like the dating apps, you know, I really enjoy the apps that have like, you know, like Hinge. It has like you know, people can like fill in questions and like give, show a little bit more of their personality. And I really do read those, or if there's like a video or a voice memo, like I'll listen to it or watch the video or something, because I really want to hear what their voice sounds like. I want to hear the inflection. I want to hear like what their personality could be. And if I'm moderately somewhat attracted to the person, I will usually swipe right on the person or like heart their account. And I would say years before, I wouldn't have done that. It would have probably been more of just like physical appearance. Like, yep, they're good looking. Sure. Let's just go for that. So I feel like I just grew in that regard. And production even commented on that. Like the last day of filming, they were asking me, one, would you do this again? But two, they said, you know what? I know we asked you this the very first time that we interviewed you. We asked you this question. We're going to ask you again. And they're like, what are you looking for in someone? And I told them all of these like qualities and characteristics, like loyal, vulnerable, emotionally safe, like all these things. And they, and then I was like, you know, I would like a tall, dark, handsome man too. And my producer goes, I am so proud of you. She said, because when we first started, you named all the physical characteristics of someone first. She's like, and now you just did the other. She's like, you grew. And I was like, I guess I did. Oh my God, I'm proud of myself. But yeah, so I would say that, like, don't judge a book by its cover and really get to know someone beneath the surface. It's really important to do that, because I promise you that connection will grow and that person will become even more handsome or attractive than they were. And yeah, do therapy. I think that that's really a big takeaway too, is to get help even when you don't know that you need it, because you do.
I love that they ask that question at the beginning and at the end to see, yeah, like, has this person changed or are they still thinking the same thing? Yeah. It's a great way to measure. Mm-hmm. And my final question for you is, if you were to go back in time and talk to your 20-year-old self, what would you want to tell her? Or if you want to tell her nothing at all, that's an option as well.
I would tell her that she should have shopped around for a therapist and actually done the therapy. That, I think, would have prevented a lot of heartbreak in the future, given her tools to cope with things in a different way and not, you know, again, everything happens for a reason and there's always lessons to be learned. But I think if you have those tools from earlier on, it can save you a lot of time, because I feel like I wasted a lot of time and energy on people who weren't giving me the time and energy that I deserved. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be 40 in 2 years, less than 2 years. It's kind of like, all right, I know I dated a bunch of bozos, but I was being a bozo at the time too, because I didn't have the tools that I have now. So I definitely would say therapy or like a life coach or something like that. Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, it is.
Even though therapy is hard. I started going to therapy like a couple months ago. It's very hard. Yeah. I don't want to go every time that I have to go. It's so hard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But the more open you are, the more you're going to get out of that therapy session, you know? So just remember that. The healing will come. We're always going to be healing from something, right? I mean, until the day we die, right? But again, if you can just have the awareness when a certain situation comes up and it feels familiar, oh, I learned this in therapy or learned this from a coach or something, what can I do to keep my nervous system regulated and make sure that I'm making aligned decisions versus something that's coming from a dysregulated nervous system and I'm just like fight or flight or freeze or fawn or whatever. So yeah, it's important. I'm proud of you for going.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. Like, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you sharing everything with us. Like, I appreciate you being open. This is wonderful.
Yeah, no, thank you. I hope everything made sense. I know I like ramble a lot. So I appreciate you having me. It was great. Good conversation.
Yeah, it's awesome. And where can we find you? Where can we connect with you?
Yeah, so most everything I do is on Instagram. It's at Chase Life with Kelly. And in my like link in my bio too, you can find different resources of how we can connect further. My online coaching program is on there, and on TikTok, I swear I'm going to show up on a more consistent basis. But when I do, it's I Am Kelly Chase on TikTok as well. So, and I do have I'm not actively creating new episodes at the moment, but I do have a podcast and it is called Chase Life with Kelly too. And you can find it on any streaming platform. So, and there you can go to YouTube and look up, like watch the videos as well. So if you want to get to know my personality more.
Thank you for listening to The Shit Show My 20s. I'd love if you could take a minute to leave a review on Apple. It would mean the world to me, and I will see you next time.